those two wines in a taste comparison. It's like Space Mountain and Disneyland and Space Mountain at Disney World. They're the same wine, just a little different.
I love it, Michael.
That's what I would say.
You're really proud of that comparison, aren't you? Like, you're feeling really proud right now.
I know. That's right. We'll see tomorrow when you're editing this.
So much of this is not making the cut. It's not even funny.
Cutting room floor.
Oh, gosh. We've got about 4 minutes of content so far. Hey there, welcome to Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti here in Sonoma County, California. And this is part two of a two-part series that kicked off last week. So are you the person that thinks, oh, I can put the bookshelf together without the instructions? Or maybe you're like my crazy friend Heather, who you've heard on the podcast, you know, Heather who doesn't like wine. She has to read the last page of a book before she starts it. Yep. Don't skip the important part one. So if you did not hear last week's episode, Pairing Night Part One, I'm going to encourage you to pause this, go back. It'll make a lot more sense. We'll be here waiting for you in part two. But in part one, my good friend, Dr. Hobie Wedler, who is a blind PhD chemist / storyteller / sensory explorer and guide of all things delicious on the planet for so many people, especially on his crazy Instagram, which I will put in the show notes. He and his partner, Justin, came over to mine and Michael's house, along with my longtime childhood friend, Kim, who was visiting from out of town. And the five of us literally trashed my kitchen. That is what we do. We're grateful to have a big island in the kitchen. And one of our favorite things to do is have friends over, especially friends that love to cook and definitely friends that love to eat. And this group was all of the above. So in part one, you heard Hobie talking about just some principles of what makes a quote, perfect pairing. And you also heard him say that really a perfect pairing is whatever is perfect to you, right? But we talked about how like likes like. So similar body, similar notes, wines that remind you of that food and food that somehow remind you of that wine. We talked about that somewhat abstract concept, but then put it to the test with some really simple fruit and cheese and wine pairing. Well, for the rest of the evening, we really went deep into the menu with Michael's famous tandoori chicken wings that we paired with Viognier. How did it go? You'll have to hear. Hobie came with some beautiful porcini mushrooms that were rehydrated or reconstituted and made two different mushroom dishes that you'll hear. And spoiler alert, he put pork rinds on one of them and we were like, what? Did it work? And what was the best wine pairing with it? You'll have to wait and see. Then we had a beautiful tagliatelle mushroom pasta dish. Of course, a margherita pizza out of our pizza oven paired with some very familiar house Sangiovese that you'll hear us talk about. And you're just joining us at that island. We've pulled up a chair for you. So it's a little loud. There's multiple conversations going on. There's puppy footsteps in the background. And this is just how we roll on a Sunday afternoon and evening. So I should say, join us as we trash the kitchen. But I'm going to call it the conclusion of Pairing Night Part 2 with Dr. Hobie Wedler. Here we go.
All right.
Let's cook.
Sweet.
Woo! All right. So first up in this pairing, do we have chicken wings ready to go? Chef Michael, tell us what you've prepared while I prepare the Viognier.
Oh my goodness.
That pairs beautifully with this.
Yay.
We made some wings that we saw on the gram.
Oh, nice.
It's a great recipe. It's like a mixture of a bunch of spices like cumin, paprika, garlic powder, salt, pepper, coriander.
Yogurt.
Wow. Garam masala, right?
Garam masala.
Garam masala.
Have you guys tried these before?
We made these a couple years ago and paired it with Viognier, and I think it brought me to tears. So not that I'm trying to raise your expectations super high.
Oh.
Pride Mountain Vineyards Viognier 2024.
Yeah.
Kim experienced this wine. We brought this with us to Willie's Wine Bar.
Oh, did you go to Willie's on Thursday?
Two nights ago.
Is that amazing?
Yes. And Kim was amazed at the pairings that were happening with
this.
Oh my
gosh.
She's a chameleon, this wine.
She is. She can do many different things.
Yeah. Viognier, I always say, is a chameleon because even though it's white, it's the red wine drinker's white.
Absolutely.
Oh, it is dry, not sweet, but very fruity and floral. And it's weighty. It sits in your mouth more like a red. Yeah. We're going to try the chicken tikka masala inspired chicken wing.
I can't wait. I
forgot to say this. So the sauce is a concoction of honey, sriracha. We put some of the Thai grinded up one too. What is that one?
That crunchy,
chili paste.
Chili garlic sauce.
Oh man.
With the cock on it.
Sambal olek.
Okay, so
cheers, everyone.
Taste my wine first?
Always, it's the North Star. That's what my friend Hobie taught me in last week's episode.
All right.
Always in a pairing, taste everyone. The wine first. See what you see first about the wine.
That Viognier, is this the current release?
2024, yep.
Oh.
Great job, Matt Ward, winemaker.
Good job, Matt. Okay, I'm going in for a wing. Oh, they're so saucy and nice.
You're so saucy and nice.
Mmm. Okay. Now that's ridiculous.
So to confirm, there's no nut butter or seed butter or anything. So what gives it the nutty flavor?
It does seem like peanut buttery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's yogurt. Amazing.
A little bit of olive
spices.
Oil.
Olive oil?
That was the only thing.
And some heavy cream?
But just a little bit.
So
heavy cream. Mm.
Oh my God. This is one of the most interesting and delicious things I've had in a long time.
Now try it with the Viognier.
It's funny though. It almost does taste peanut buttery.
It does.
And it's got that texture.
Doesn't it?
I always talk about how the Viognier is great with Thai, with curry, with spicy food. If there is some heat, the Viognier is almost like a little fire extinguisher.
You're right.
In your mouth that puts it out. And this wing is very rich in the creaminess because of the yogurt and the cream in the sauce, but then also there's a lot of layers of spice and garlic. Mm-hmm. And that Viognier, I think, just meets it in the middle. They high five.
Mm.
And they're like,
oh, it's tingly.
Talk to me, Kim. Talk to me.
Why now do I have everything pulling forward?
There's acid in the wings.
Okay.
No, I'm saying like real acid.
But it's like a very bright.
Like Berkeley 1965 acid.
Shut up. No. I'm like, there's not acid in the wings.
Yeah,
continue, Kimberly, continue.
But like instead of a rounder finish after the wing, it's like more forward.
Because of the wine or just on its own?
No. The wine after the wing was like more forward on my palate and almost like I don't want to use the word fizzy because it's not bubbles, but it's like alive.
Lively on the palate.
You have that little bit of burn on your palate.
I think because it's cold and
I think that's true.
And so when you take the Viognier, it just dances on your tongue.
And what I love about these, I just want to say about this pairing is that the wings are in Spanish. The word picante means actual burning, spicy, hot. But something can be spicy without being picante. These have great spice, but not much picante.
Yeah, that's
right. Nice distinction, sir.
I love, so good. I love heat for flavor. I don't really love heat for,
they're so good.
Burn all your taste buds and make your mouth salivate.
No, and by the way, compliments because execution is always the key. It's a great recipe, but if it's not executed properly, it doesn't really matter.
This is so good.
This just sticks out in my memory from things that we've cooked in the last 5 years, where us and our guests that were here, everyone was like, whoa, not just at the chicken wing itself, but the pairing with the Viognier.
No, that's a whoa. Yeah. That's a win pairing. That's crazy. These are really stupid good.
Michael's just great at prepping and cooking wings, period.
Yeah.
And we do all different sauces and classic buffalo and
I love that.
Teriyaki and whatever, but this is just so different and unique.
And the general method, Michael, of preparing the wing is the same across sauces.
No,
good question.
A lot of differences. When this one, I'm pretty sure it would go with all of them, is instead of using like a buttermilk to marinate it and brine it with, this one uses yogurt, and then you mix all the spices into it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I feel like if you just change the spices up, it could marry to any cuisine you're trying to go for, right?
Yeah.
Indian, Mexican, Louisiana, whatever. Depending on your spices or you want to do this, everywhere you go, their chicken wings are different. Yeah. Even like Spanish chicken wings, their chili profile, their picante profile, it's different.
We'll put the recipe in the show notes for anything where we can give a recipe.
I'm
but I just want to give a shout out. These wings themselves, the actual chicken, it's from Trader Joe's.
So good.
They're packs of like party wings. They're so actually good. Very nice and a good price. Wow.
No, these are really good quality chicken.
Really nice.
So that's very, very
just
fun.
As good as I remember. What do you want to do next? Oh, yeah. All right, so you're going to talk us through these mushrooms.
I will.
Yeah.
All right, so next course on this evening's gorgeous lineup provided by Hobie and Justed. Y'all walked in here with some mushrooms and started stuffing them. Tell me what's going on here.
Yeah, so this is really simple. A lot of people think of mushroom stuffing as you need breadcrumbs and maybe a little meat or breadcrumbs and herbs or whatever the case may be. This is a really simple mushroom stuffing of literally cream cheese blended with any jam of your choosing. Here we did about 8 ounces of cream cheese with about 2 tablespoons of jam. This jam is strawberry rhubarb, but we could use any jam we wanted. I try to stick away from the really syrupy sweet, like Smucker's grape and that type of stuff, just to keep it a little more acid, a little more friendly. And then we stuffed about 20 mushrooms with that mixture. And then we put a little dusting of pork rinds on top.
Why?
Because they're savory and they're yummy. And the savory adds to the sweet so beautifully. And mushrooms, like, I don't know, I have a love affair with mushrooms because they're so unique in their own right. These are portobello, baby Bella mushrooms, so they're cremini. But mushrooms can be so unique and different and complex. And I don't know, they have meaty-like quality to them. They're really fun.
Everyone's taking pictures of them. That's why it got quiet. I just plated 5 of them and everybody's taking pictures.
I love it.
Talk to me about your thoughts on wine pairing with mushroom, because normally I think mushroom, right away I go Pinot Noir.
Yep. So we brought an Italian wine called Lagrein, which is a grape native to northern Italy, so Bolzano area, up in the Italian Alps. And it's light like a Pinot, but I don't know, because you were mentioning that Viognier is a chameleon, and I totally agree with you. I thought it'd be fun to start these with some Viognier and then maybe move on to that Lagrein.
Ooh, I love trying the same bite with different wines.
Don't you love that?
Kim and I did this the other night at the restaurant. We had a goat cheese fritter with lavender honey, and we had Viognier in one glass, and we had Pinot Noir in the other. And I had Kim try the fritter with both, and I asked her what she thought, and she said, remember what you said about the book reference?
It was like choose your own adventure.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
Meaning they were both great, and they both took her on a journey, but there was no right or wrong. Yeah.
I love it.
All right, so let's each try a mushroom. Oh, Michael is making a head exploding. First of all, in true Michael form, he didn't wait for us. We were all going to do this together, and you're already 5 steps ahead, whatever. Why are you making the head exploding signals? Talk to me.
Because you guys need to put one on your plate and put it in your mouth now, because it's the perfect temperature, texture, and I'm telling you, it's like a mushroom s'mores. There's actual sweetness, like it's marshmallow.
Because of the jam. Do you like it, Michael?
I love it.
Okay.
It's like an earthy s'mores.
I'm going for some wine.
It is like a s'more. Why? Oh my God.
Because the cream cheese has the sweet jam.
What? Kim, what is that face? Are you crying? Is Kim crying?
I don't know what to do with this.
Is that a good way?
In the best way.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it taste like a s'more?
The texture was not at all what I was expecting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was like fluffy and light. And that I think is where the s'more is coming in. Like with the sweetness from the jam. Yeah.
But you also have the crackle of the flame of the outside. Like you got a little charred on it.
You finished this in the pizza oven, Michael, right? Yes. So this was on the grill.
Oh my God.
And then you finished
on the grill on low for 30 minutes. Mm. I turned off the grill and let it just chill. And then I threw it in the pizza oven for 3 minutes.
Kim, what do you think of this with the Viognier, your favorite wine?
Hold.
That works.
It works because I think this is earthier. Yeah. I'm getting earthier notes
really
in
good.
The wine.
Yeah.
Like more mineral in the wine.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's still very full-bodied, the way that a red is.
Yep.
You know what? It's like a mushroom popper. And I think it pairs really well with this wine because the Viognier is so versatile.
I love them together. Neither one of them overshadows the other. They meet in weight and body and complexity.
Yeah.
Wow, Hobie. Wow.
Those are fun. I dreamed this up earlier.
It's like a high five, and then it turns into your hands turn into water, and then just water keeps going. That's what I'm seeing.
I love that.
Yeah. That's how the flavor just.
I get it.
Because if wine and food just hit here, then it's like, yeah. But it like
they continue both, into each
like,
other.
Like a Starburst commercial.
What was the
love that.
perfume commercials of the 90s. I don't know where I end and you begin. Calvin Klein, obsession. they just bleed into each other in a good way. That is a good pairing.
There's
nothing abrupt about it. Yeah. It doesn't make you go, what happened?
Do we have enough mushrooms we can try it with the other wine?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Tell us about this beautiful
Lagrine. Merlot, too.
Oh, Lagrine and Merlot 2021.
So this is their blend. This is the Laudine blend?
Blast. Yeah.
So Laudine is a kid of the winery owner, I believe, is the connection.
Oh, my God. It's very dark in color.
It's very dark.
I was expecting like a Pinot looking.
But this is from an amazing small winery, and they actually built their whole tank farm in an old water storage tank. That's where
you've been. You were recently there.
We were there in November
for the first time in this little tasting room. And the winery itself was making commodity wine, but they've switched their business model and they've started making really special high-end wines.
Lower production,
better fruit.
And this tank that I was telling you about, this storage tank, literally you can walk in. Used to be their commodity wine storage tank.
Okay,
Justin,
would you call this an earthy wine? Does it sit in the pocket like a Pinot Noir?
I think it does. I think it really is earthy, but it's also got some really big notes of cab. But Justin, go on.
I think that when you're going from California wines to European wines, Italian wines from this region are going to be higher acid. So you have to allow your mind to take that jump and understand the different. And that, I think that's what's key in appreciating wines from different regions, is realizing that the nuances of those regions.
That's beautifully said.
Yeah.
And I think that mushroom is nice because it's so versatile. It's got a little bit of that acid from the jam, from the cream cheese. I think it's going to really help us bridge the gap. And then I'm pretty sure we're going to come back to California in terms of wine.
Yes, this evening.
So we're going to wander.
Yes, we are.
We're globetrotting through wine.
Amen.
Hey, I love that.
The wine before the mushroom had a little bit of tannin and a little bit of nice acidity, pokey in the mouth, some sharpness.
Little pokey, little acid.
And then after that mushroom with that super melty cream cheese, go back to the wine, and the wine is totally softer, totally soft, and also just compliments, but in a different way for me. Kim, do you just sit at home on a Saturday night in Virginia and do this?
Nope.
And open 7 different bottles of wine and cook 17 things?
Nope.
This is not what normal people do?
No.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
We trash the kitchen and have 87 things cooking at one time.
Wow. This is so good.
Have you ever had a wine like this?
No, I have never have. It's so unique. The notes of this is just...
All right, you're dead. Crisp. You're cut off. You're done. Did anyone have a preference between the Viognier or the Lagrine Merlot with these beautiful stuffed mushroom poppers?
For me, I like the Lagrine Merlot.
Yeah?
I think
the red? I didn't have a preference.
Yeah.
I think both. Choose your own adventure.
I think for me, like the experience of trying multiple wines with the same pairing is the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah. If I could compare this to anything, those two wines in a taste comparison, it's like Space Mountain and Disneyland and Space Mountain at Disney World. They're the same wine, just a little different.
I love it. I love it, Michael.
That's what I would say.
You're really proud of that comparison, aren't you? Like you're feeling really proud right now.
I know. That's right. We'll see tomorrow when you're editing this.
So much of this is not making the cut. It's not even funny.
Cutting room floor.
Oh, we've got about 4 minutes of content so far.
And a lot of chewing.
Dude, those are awesome. Happening. So fun.
They're wild, aren't they?
That was just such a surprise.
Does the texture every time do that, or is that texture unique? Because it's the
first time I've ever made
these. Made it up.
He had a dream about them the other night.
Made them up today.
Okay.
Man, those are fun.
That was very cool. Delicious.
Pasta is, I've done some dried porcinis that have been constituted. So then in the fry pan,
those
shallots and the chopped up dried porcinis and the tips of the mushrooms, the stems of the mushrooms that we stopped.
Just the tips.
Oh, okay.
And then melt that down and then a little bit of goat cheese. Uh-huh. Actually, a lot of goat cheese to make it super creamy. And then in with a flat tagliatelle, a little bit of pasta water, and you just get this killer mushroomy creamy sauce. Okay.
Can I make the pizza now? Can you make sure the oven's ready for me?
For your pizza time?
Yeah. Pizza while we're cooking pasta.
Yeah.
We will be right back.
If you live in the Bay Area or will be vacationing here around August 17th, I have an invitation for you. It's a Crush Collective Winemaker Showcase at the Tambor Bay Winery in Calistoga. Now, if you're a regular listener, you've heard me interview winemaker Sally Johnson Blum, and she and her portfolio of wines are going to be featured, along with wines of another well-known winemaker, Mike Smith, from Myriad Cellars. It's a walk-around tasting in this beautiful setting at Tambor Bay, surrounded by horse stables, and you'll have the rare opportunity to taste over 30 different wines from 14 boutique high-end brands, including, of course, Tambor Bay, Sally's new brand, Stereograph Wines, Ladera, Sylvie, Abloom, which I featured in a recent podcast episode, just to name a few. What a lineup, but you can see the full list at eventbrite.com. It's a really limited and rare opportunity to be able to taste all of these special wines under one roof with live music and delicious bites, all in the middle of the beautiful Napa Valley. It's from 1 to 4 on Sunday, August 17th at Tambor Bay Winery in Calistoga. There's free parking, and it's $75 a person. Tickets can be purchased at eventbrite.com. I can put the link in the show notes of this very episode, so you can grab it there or just search for Crush Collective Event in Eventbrite. I so hope that you get to go, and maybe I'll see you there. If you heard our 69th episode from April 2025, you heard my amazing conversation with Sina Wheeler. Sina is from a fifth-generation fishing family, and she and her husband, Rich, founded Sina Sea. And he is a fisherman, and he catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it to your door, and it's premium sushi quality when it arrives. You can create a subscription box, and they'll even guide you as to what's in season. For instance, May is the start of Copper River salmon season. In our episode, you heard Sina and I tasting this very salmon, which was delicious. And we made poke bowls and paired it with wine, of course. And I was really blown away, not only at the awesome quality of the fish, but the sustainability of the packaging when it arrived. And then the recipe card that was packed inside the box and how easy it was to prepare. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Sina Sea so that you can get your hands on the fish and have it shipped right to your door from a small family-owned business. They've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPANDSEA, and you can use that at their website, SinaSea.com, S-E-N-A-S-E-A, SinaSea.com, for 10% off your order. This can be for a one-time purchase if you just want to try it out, or you can sign up and save with the subscription box. I also encourage you to sign up for their email list for great recipes and inspirations of how to incorporate healthy and beautiful fish into your diet regularly. They even do a monthly drawing for a $50 gift card for all the members on their mailing list. So go check out the delicious wild Alaskan fish at SinaSea.com. Healthy fish delivered easy. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to the show.
I'm an audiologist.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Kim is doctor. Kim's got a PhD.
That's awesome. You work with adults, elderly folks, kids,
yep. The full gamut. I work in an ear, nose, and throat practice.
Okay.
So we see all ages.
That's
gorgeous. I was so impressed by the speed of the cook. Yeah. It was incredible.
One oven is 800 degrees. It goes quickly.
What just came in?
The pizza.
Oh, it's done?
Yeah.
Did you get a little puffy?
She's pretty. Oh boy. Holy moly.
So Michael just pulled out of the pizza oven this beautiful margarita pizza made with our sourdough starter, Gladys.
Love her.
Cheers to Gladys.
Thank you, Gladys.
I love you.
And this is just super simple with what we think are the best tomatoes out there, which is the Bianco di Napoli from Chris Bianco. And we just literally take the tomatoes out of the can, crush them, add some salt, drain the water out a little bit. And then we have fresh, locally made mozzarella from Canavari's Deli. And also just some basil from our garden.
Oh my goodness.
And we think the pairing, of course, that's the best with this self-serving, is a little Sorbetto Sangiovese.
What could be better?
2022, because what goes together?
Heck yeah.
Pizza, Sangiovese.
Amen.
Preach.
And this Sangiovese, this Sorbetto, is such good wine, folks.
Thank you, friend. Really proud of it.
She's so pretty.
I just won a gold medal.
Gold medal.
Sunset International Wine Competition.
Yes. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Clinky clink.
Cheers. Clinkity clink.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
So, thoughts on the wine first before the pizza? I can't talk about it because I know it too well.
So, down the river, San Giovese, you just have done those grapes so much. Truth and honesty.
Oh,
I mean, they are really, really stunning. They really are true to form. Nice little bit of a lot of those fruits we were tasting earlier. I think there's a good amount of stone fruit in the wine, a good amount of fig, really nice dark fruit, black fruit. It's just stunning.
I think this vintage especially has a softness to it, not as much tannin as some of the previous years. It's robust in flavor, but the finish is soft.
I agree.
Like a warm hug from your favorite Nona.
It feels like a hug when I sip that wine.
Uh-huh. All right, try this beautiful margarita pizza.
Oh, a gun in your brick oven.
Gladys, there's nothing but compliment the wine, in my opinion.
The pizza in general. It's amazing. And I love doing it with a sourdough. We've got a friend who does a lot of homemade pizza, the Neapolitan style, but does it with a poulish, which is a way of fermenting the yeast just a little before you're going to use them. And I think the sourdough adds so much more complexity.
It's like the difference. It's like you're feeding the dough with an infant or you're feeding the dough with an adult that's had experience. And that's what Gladys is.
Yeah.
Because it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
How long?
It's been around since COVID.
Wow.
Wow.
When everyone just made bread and made sourdough starter.
Except we've kept her going.
Yeah.
So she's now 5 years old, sourdough starter.
Wow.
Wow.
And then how much of Gladys do you keep in the fridge at any given time?
Well, it's always like an option. If I know I'm going to like need it soon, I probably leave like about 100 grams. But knowing that I probably put it away now. We're probably not going to use it again for a while. I just put 50 grams. Then I only have to give it like 25 grams of flour and then put it in there and just let it go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by 2 weeks, I have to feed it again.
That's my next question. How often do you feed Gladys?
The way you know is if it starts like looking more like a melted shake instead of a shake.
Oh.
And you need to pull it out and feed it because it's
okay. And feeding it just means you pour some off and you add flour and water.
Okay.
That's it.
Flour and water.
And then that gets it fermenting again.
Okay.
Healthy and active. And when you know you're about to use it to cook something, you do that like a day before.
For me, after the pizza, like it's still soft, but it's cleaner. I don't know how to.
It's opening up.
I just think this pizza, this bite, is why we make this wine.
Yeah, yeah.
We make it the way that we do because they belong together.
Yeah.
They are just best friends.
It's a warm hug from your grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, Grandma Gladys.
And this wonderful
dough recipe, of course, is from The Joy of Pizza. So
okay.
That's the book by Dan Richard. Kim and I grew up with in Mattawan.
She knows him.
The tomatoes are perfect.
And this is KitchenAid. I've gotten that thing down.
Can't believe how good the tomatoes are. There's nothing to it.
It's the best tomatoes. Yeah. We prep the tomato sauce for pizza. We're not cooking it on the stove. Uh-huh. It's not a Sunday sauce with herbs and onions and garlic. It's finding the best tomatoes canned in the Bianco di Napoli and just pulling a little water out of it and salting it.
So good.
Because it
so
cooks good. In the oven, so you don't need to cook it.
You don't need to cook it and cook it again.
And what's the Bianco di Napoli brand? It's literally from
California.
From California. That Coroscione, the puffiness you get, and that little bit of leopardine and the char on the outside, it's so good.
I say it's, you nail it when you have that that crispiness on the outside of it and it's nice and airy and fluffy in the middle and then it's crispy on the other side. That's when it's great. And that's very hard. Like I said, it's a hard process.
Kim, what did you say?
The wine.
The wine.
It's just so clean.
Clean.
It's so clean, yummy.
Clean, tell me more about that. Clean, what do you mean by it?
I'm trying to figure out what I mean by it. It's, it's just the finish on the palate is, it's refreshing. It's not, it's full bodied without being heavy.
That's beautiful. Good. That's good.
I love that.
Work in the wine business, but your descriptors are fantastic.
They're spot on.
Thank you.
There's also, that's only neutral oak, so no new barrels at all.
And that, Kim, is something that Nikki and Michael are doing that Justin and I commend so much. Is not using so much oak that the wine just tastes like oak.
No, these are like 5 and 6 year old barrels.
And it really helps the wine.
And I'm not missing it.
Nope.
Yummy.
Oh my God, Nikki, this wine, like I just came back to it and smelled it and it's opening in the glass. Did you air this at all before pouring?
No.
Totally bloomed. It's totally changed. So what I said before about it being full of those red and black fruits, plum and fig, now it's like this balm of vivacious berries and figs and plums, but they all are like 10 times riper than they were. And to compare it to like a song, and this is my favorite way to do it, I apologize for comparing stuff to the music of David Matthews. So my analogy is that
it's gonna make me cry. I feel like I'm about to cry.
Maybe. The music is always so different when it's in the studio versus when it's live. Mm-hmm. So if we choose a song, Dreaming Tree. The studio version is so tame and so crazy. And that's like the way this was when you first poured it into my glass. And then it's like you took it to the gorge and you just made it come alive just with a little bit of oxygen.
Wow.
Yeah. But we need to pass this around. Everyone needs to smell what I have in my hand here.
Whoa.
This is
whoa.
An extra
version. First of all, did everyone hear that I just said, hey, Justin, just dip this pizza crust in this little dipping tray that we have of olive oil. And then Hobie's, hey, put some of that olive oil in my hand. And I'm like, dude, we can do better than that. Here is a proper olive oil.
We have a shot glass of olive.
American Olive Farmer, one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Shout out to Liz Tagami, who you introduced me to.
Yay, matches made, I love it.
And now you're gonna taste it in your hand and you warm it up
on the palm of your hand. And these glasses are glass, but they're cute shape. So it's basically, imagine a little wine glass, and maybe Nikki can put a picture in the episode show notes, but it's like a little wine glass with no stem, but with a very thick bottom. So it's covered over your palm while warming the bottom on your other palm. Smell that oil. To me, it's like incredibly green, incredibly ooh, awesome.
This is the Oleo Novello, which is basically like the Beaujolais Nouveau of
olive oil
this past winter.
Wowzers.
What color is it?
It's pretty pale yellow.
Okay.
With some brightness to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not green, though.
No. Yeah. Definitely more yellow gold. Take a tiny little sip of it and then aerate it.
Ooh.
Did you ever sip olive oil before?
Nope.
How is it?
Totally drinkable.
Pepper on the back end?
Yeah. Yes, some pepper, but there is pepper on the back end. That's wild.
And that's all the really healthy part of olive oil. It's the antioxidants and polyphenols that burn.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, that's stunning.
I also have her basil, oil, and garlic, and lemon.
Yeah, that's amazing. We have not tried those.
Do we have a pot where I boil some pasta on?
Yes.
Shallots are ready.
Okay, perfect. Now we can add the mushrooms.
That looks like syrup.
Just sip it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Damn.
Is that the vinegar?
Yeah. It's incredible.
So good.
Liz does an amazing job with the vinegars because it's so easy to misrepresent vinegar, especially in the United States. Like in Italy, they're very strict about it, but here it's easy to get around the rules for labeling it.
This borders on port.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm chopping up some mushrooms here. What am I doing with these after
so these
I chop
go
them?
In the shallots.
Okay.
And then the mushroom water can go in eventually with them.
Tell us about what you're creating here, Hobie.
Okay, so what we're doing here is just a really simple pasta to highlight the flavor of wild dried porcini mushrooms. Shallots are always really good in pasta because they're nice and sweet and they add great flavor. And then we're reconstituting these dried mushrooms in hot water. And the liquid in which you reconstitute is where the flavor hangs out. So we pull the mushrooms out. Oh, I can smell the dried mushrooms right from here, a few feet away. And Justin just minced them up. So they'll be just a nice little flavor bomb in the pasta. And then the water that they were soaked in is critical to add back in and give it that gorgeous flavor.
Almost like a stock.
You got it. You can actually reconstitute your mushrooms in water or stock, or wine, or even milk if you want. It's better if the stuff that you're reconstituting in is warm. And then you put that liquid back in, and then we're gonna put some goat's shad, goat cream cheese, and then a little spoonful of pasta water. And then we're gonna mix all that right into the pasta. And just have this really simple, decadent, delightful, mushroomy goodness.
And what type of pasta did you pick and why?
We use tagliatelle because the tagliatelle noodle is a nice, wide, flat Italian pasta that's long. And I feel like it just grabs on all the flavor and just pulls it in.
Okay.
And the one we chose is bronze cut, so it will absorb more sauce because it's not a smooth exterior.
It makes it like texture rich on the edge.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
You always want a nice thing that has a little bit more texture pasta where it's not so slippery.
Yep.
All the sauces grip onto it.
Into the ridges.
Nikki, what did you pour, my friend? Just, it smells extracted. It smells full of flavor. It smells like ripe. It's like just daring to open it more. I want to say this is a year similar to the Solovato we just tried, like a 22 as well. Can I ask a question? Is this your wine?
Yes.
Okay, so this must be the Fortunato.
Yes.
Oh, Nikki, this is so good. This is so good.
It needs a moment to open up.
She needs to breathe. She needs some time, but she is so good.
Yeah, let's see how it is. This is totally new, so.
This is another one that I dreamed of. I was in the shower yesterday morning. I said, Justin, let's do the shower.
Yeah. We learned a variation of this recipe from a friend. So this is a further variation.
Everybody have Fortunato in the glass?
Yes.
Our main pasta course happening here. Take us through what this is.
Okay, so this is a pasta done with dried porcini mushrooms and a little bit of shallots just for sweetness. And the sauce is actually mostly comprised of goat's shad, which is a nice creamy goat's cheese, almost like a goat's cream cheese. And if you smell the pasta, you can really smell the mushrooms come through. And then, of course, we sauteed the shallots in bacon grease and crumbled about 3/4 pound of beautiful fried bacon on the top. And I should compliments to the chef. Justin did all the work here. This is just my idea, but Justin fully executed it.
So Justin did all the work, but you're full of words. Is this what
That's
we're
it.
Saying? Okay.
I'm full of hot air. He's the real one to listen to.
Also, there's some Lucero olive oil, Olio Novello.
Oh.
Thanks, Liz.
And the wine pairing is Fortunato, which is our first ever blend from Michael and I from Solovato. This is a 2022 single barrel made, 60% Sangiovese, 35% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Petite Syrah. So inspired by super Tuscan wines that we love to drink. And you are some of the first people to taste it because we've just released it a few months ago.
That'll work.
That nice al dente tagliatelle. Perfect amount of salt coming probably from the bacon.
Also from the goat's cheese as well.
Nicely done, Chef. Mm. Wow. What do we think of the pairing?
The pairing is fantastic. I would say this is...
It's a rich dish.
Very rich.
So
very
it rich. Needs a rich wine to hold up to it.
So I would not pair this with a white wine, because the white wine just wouldn't have the structure in the body. This needs that nice, big, complex red. And I think, Nikki, I think you selected the perfect bottle.
What do you think of the pairing, Michael?
It's very good. I have no words right now.
Because it's that good?
It's that good. I'm just like, I can't put it into words. It's just, it's great pairing.
Wow. Michael, at a loss for words.
Wow.
That's amazing.
But this is also, after the pasta, interestingly, I get more fruit.
On the Fortunato?
On the Fortunato.
Yeah.
The pasta has a high saltiness.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I think brings out the fruit.
And bacon is still crunchy, and that's amazing to me.
Nice. The crunch, just like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. It holds up.
But you also tossed it in there at the end. You cooked it separately.
True. Yeah, yeah, true.
Crumbled it.
Yeah, same thing.
It like
so good.
So, takeaway impressions of the night. Michael, go.
I just thought everything was great. The mushrooms, to me, was just nothing I ever thought I would put in my mouth. It was just a great texture. So, to me, the mushrooms, that's mine. The pizza was amazing, and the chicken wings were amazing. The best ones we've made yet. Yeah, but as far as pairing, I would have to say the chicken wing with the vignette.
All right, Kimberly?
It's like asking me to choose between my children. They were also good. I agree that the mushrooms were the biggest surprise, and I loved the fact that they paired well with both wines. The choose your own adventure aspect of it, that's a lot of fun. But I agree, this is where it's like, I've been waiting to do Solovato specifically with your pizza, because that was new for me.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And now I see what the hype is about. But
J-Bomb?
Just keeping that name.
The biggest surprise for me were the wings. I thought the flavor of them was amazing. And then, like, just tasting the wings by themselves, I wouldn't necessarily think they would pair with a wine easily because of the sweetness.
Yeah.
But then with the Viognier, it's wow, it totally works. So that was amazing. And then, like, a close second was the pasta, for one, just because anything with mushrooms, especially concentrated mushrooms, like dried mushrooms, just has this depth of flavor that it's hard to get there with anything else, honestly. And so pairing that with something great like the Fortunato is just perfect.
Yeah.
So
it was interesting to me because I'm like, oh, mushrooms, Pinot Noir, but we've not done a ton of mushroom pairings with our Sangiovese or Sangiovese blend. We are always like red sauce, pizza, which
it works.
Fantastic with red sauce. But this was really fun for me to see it with the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Hopes, close us out.
Oh,
final thoughts?
First of all, the people cannot beat the company. Y'all are amazing. And sometimes the difference between an amazing wine and food night and a not so amazing wine and food night are the people you're with. And tonight, everything delivers. I have to just say, every bite was really interesting, totally different, and unique and wonderful. I really liked the mushrooms. That was not how I was expecting them to taste, but I so enjoyed them. The pasta was, as Justin said, really interesting and really different. The pizza, I just love your sourdough starter and how that made that dough just so and deep with flavor. That was really good. But I was not expecting those chicken wings to taste the way they did at all. And Viognier is a mind-boggling wine because it can pair with literally anything. And tonight was proof of that for me. So I think my top pairing would have to be the one that we started the evening off with, which was the chicken wings and Viognier. And that was really good. But I also really enjoyed your Fortunato with mushroom pasta.
Yeah, great. Well, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Alla salute.
Ooh, are you full after listening to that? Is your mouth salivating? It should be. We had so much fun. And I have to tell you, we recorded over 2 hours. Clearly, I did not just share 2 hours with you. So I gave you the highlights, just looking for those light bulb moments where you can think, oh, I get that. I can try that. Hopefully, we've inspired you to explore different menu items. It's not crazy to actually open two different wines and try them both with something and see what you like better. That's how you learn. And I'm so grateful that you were along for the evening with us in my kitchen. If you enjoyed this format, send me a note, Nikki at sipwithnikki.com. www.nickylamberty.com. Let me know that you'd love to hear more of this reality audio on site, in the kitchen, and traveling in restaurants. And I'm going to drop the links in the show notes for any recipes that we can share with you and any specific wines that we mentioned, especially, and of course, our Solovato Fortunato blend and wonderful 2022 Sangiovese, which just recently won a gold medal in the Sunset International Wine Competition. You can visit solovatowines.com and we can ship to most states these beautiful wines that belong on your crazy trashed kitchen island. Nothing would make me happier than that. Send me a picture when that happens. And for being a podcast listener, of course, I will give you a discount on your wine purchase. Use the code PODLISTENER at checkout for 10% off your purchase. I hope that you enjoyed, and whatever you do between now and our next time together, I hope that you sip well.
Thank you.